Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
There's always going to be that person telling you not to have that drink. But you can't let someone else's negativity get in the way of your good time. Go grab yourself a few Monday drinks and enjoy it. You deserve it.
Don't listen to those nerds. They're just mad that they don't know how to have fun.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Came into the party for the dogs.
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 I don't care about the humans and the jobs.
Hey, is he still in HR?
Jobs.
Yeah, sure am.
I just came in for the dogs.
I see that the tail is wagging. I give dummy rubs. Head scratches. Human beings will please leave me alone.
Oh, hello, Miss Strawberry Sniggles. Ooh, I hope nobody ever gets my hands on me and tries to steal my strawberry smiggles. I'm gonna eat every last one of them because, and then they'll be in my stomach and nobody will ever be able to eat them except for me because they're gonna be all inside my stomach. My name is Mr. Top Hat Jones, and God forbid anyone ever take my smiggies. Little people's nibbles. I'm keeping them all for me. Last bite. Oh, now they're all resting comfortably in my stomach. Ooh, am I feeling good? No! Get away from me! Get away from me! There's my bunch of strawberry snibbles! No! Oh, Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ! It hurts! My entrails are out! Why would you even want to eat these? And then they're soaked with my stomach acid! Oh, Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, and Spirit, save me! Take me to the light! Oh, my God, I see demons! I see demons are coming!
Jeez, Rick, oh, my God! That's some pretty hardcore stuff, to, you know, for a cereal commercial.
To fix herpes, do burpees, clear up gonorrhea, buy a pizzeria. To beat the clap, eat a chicken wrap. To clear warts, play sports. But the one to beat them all is syphilis. You gotta get ridiculous. Get ridiculous. Or you might end up ridiculous.
The band has had a few different names over the years. We were Teddy Bear Suicide, but then we changed it to Mouse Rat. Then we were God Hates Figs, Two Doors Down, Department of Homeland Obscurity. Then we were Three Skin, Just the Tip, Flames for Flames, Muscle Confusion, Nothing Rhymes with Orange, then Everything Rhymes with Orange, Andy Dwyer Experience, AD and the D-Bags, the Andy's, Rad Wagon, Five Skin, Four Skin, Nothing Rhymes with Blorange, Death of a Scam Artist, Razor Dick, Puppy Pendulum, Possum Pendulum, Penis Pendulum, Handrail Suicide, Angel Snack, Jet Black Pope, Punch Face Champions, Ninja Dick, we went back to Mouse Rat, and now we are Scarecrow Boat. God, when I hear myself say Scarecrow Boat out loud, I kind of hate it.
We're in the middle of a worker shortage for important industries like healthcare, education, and construction.
Well, you're a free market capitalist. Isn't this just the market's way of telling you to make those essential jobs better by increasing pay and benefits?
No. No, people are just being lazy.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
From Filthy Martini Studios in Ontario, California, it's The Fumar Show!
Hey, what is up, everyone? I am Joe C. Thank you all so very much for listening to the Fumar Show, and a special thanks to all you foods who subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow foods. Remember to pick up some swag at fubarshow.com. That's fwobarshow.com, and follow fwobarshow on all of our socials, and we'll foo it up like a couple of foos. Ain't that right, Steph?
That's right.
Steph, I'm pretty excited for today's show. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it's St. Patty's Day weekend! What'd you do for St. Patty's Day?
I stared at the booze shelf that we had.
Yeah.
And
fell asleep.
I was just like, damn, should I really want a cocktail?
No, did you have a cocktail?
I didn't. We have a bottle of wine open, so I just had a glass of wine, and then I knocked out on the couch.
That's very on brand. That's a very Steph St. Patty's Day. Yeah, it's kind of standard for you, isn't it?
You know,
regardless of the holiday,
it's
you're Irish, or at least part Irish.
Yeah, I'm half Irish.
Yeah, you're raised on potatoes and corned beef and hash.
Nothing but potatoes and alcohol. Turn into a shrimp when I get touched by the sun.
Yeah, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
And all the verbal abuse as a child.
Yes. And the ability to fall asleep anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's where the Irish and the Mexicans really get along and have a lot of similarities. You know, there's nothing like sharing one of the worst stereotypes you can have as a race. You know, for fuck's sake, you know, like as a Mexican, you see all these like small little statues of like that Mexican dude with the giant hat, like leaning on a cactus.
Yeah.
For like a little siesta. You know, you can't assume he's an alcoholic. Maybe he had a little doobie, but for sure, when you think of the Irish, that's definitely alcohol induced, wouldn't you say?
You know what? We are a hardworking people,
mm-hmm.
and when we get home, we just don't want to hear about nothing. So we have a drink or two.
Well, boys, I'm on my way home to beat the wife. Who wants to join me? Hey! And then everybody kind of follows, right?
I don't know. There's a lot more nagging. So they just end up walking away. There's a little less physical aspect.
I would argue that that's only the case when the wife is Filipino. As I imagine it would be your case.
Yeah. There's a lot of yelling from both sides.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But your dad, he's not from Ireland. He just has Irish roots.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, he's 100% bred in the South,
mm-hmm.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good times. I mean, yeah. I think the spirit of St. Paddy's Day is coming back. You know, considering 3 years ago we all shut down due to COVID. This entire season, like mid to late March, will always be cemented, at least in my millennial brain, as it just going like the downturn of COVID in late February right into overall March is when like everybody was talking about COVID in 2020. And I just remember, you know, having an awesome outlook on my band playing so many shows that year and then just show after show just being canceled. It was just like a domino effect.
I think today, right? The 18th?
It was the day, for me at least, the more impactful day was the day before St. Patrick's Day, because on St. Patrick's Day, we were going to play a big, huge St. Patrick's Day show at a pub over in Corona, at Boondocks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that would have been, we were one of the bands that were always in consideration to do that annually,
mm-hmm.
at that particular location. And they threw this huge, giant bash. They have a particularly large parking lot that often goes unused. So they use that outdoor area so that, you know, they can kind of make the festivities quite bigger. And so, but anyway, I think people are getting back into it.
Yeah.
No more masks, no more COVID talk, really, for the most part.
It's been 3 years. We had our 3 year pandemic, Annie. This month. Now?
The pandy?
The pandy Annie?
The pandy Annie.
Yeah, 3 years.
Is that what people are saying?
That's what I call it.
Oh, so nobody.
You're welcome.
Nobody's calling it that.
3 years this month.
3 years, yeah. Yeah. 3 years this month. Yeah, for sure.
Can you believe it?
I can.
We survived.
It's about goddamn time. You know, if you ask me, the pandemic took out the wrong people. But, you know, I guess you can't win them all.
Assholes never die.
That's true. That's true. But what's up with you, Steph? What's going on?
You
what's
know,
the haps?
I like doom scrolling and stuff like that. The internet has been talking about this drink. It's a cocktail, and it is a Parmesan espresso martini.
I heard about this.
Have you heard about this?
I heard about
this.
So
it has the base of an espresso martini. You have the espresso, you have the coffee liqueur.
You know what? By the way, I got to give you props, Steph. You're actually saying espresso correctly.
Oh my God, only because I didn't want to hear it when I say it espresso.
Well, because it's incorrect.
You're just wrong.
Anyway.
It's espresso.
Continue.
To alcohol!
Whoops.
So you have the, coffee liqueur, you have the espresso, you have the sweetener of your choice, which is usually simple syrup, and then you have vodka. Put in a shaker, shake it all up, put it in the glass, and then you top it off with freshly grated Parmesan. And that's supposed to give it like this salty contrast to the sweet flavor.
That's so weird, yeah. Right? Because, I mean, okay, so kind of describe what it is without the Parmesan. It's just, it's a lot of alcohol, would you say?
It is. It's more like a dessert drink, though. Mm. And if you're not careful, too many of those, oh man, you're going to end up on the floor because it's already a lot of alcohol content, like you said. Mm-hmm. But it's usually in a smaller glass, so you're going to get a smaller amount because it's a higher alcohol content. And it's not one of those drinks that you can have like two or three of in a row because it's not, I don't know, I don't think it's built for that. It's, mm-hmm. you know, dessert drinks. You just have one. Casually drink it.
And yeah, you don't shoot it. It's, you know, college culture has really kind of ruined those types of drinks because everything is a shot to a youngster.
Yes.
You know, I'll be guilty of partaking in that because after all, aren't we here to get drunk?
Yeah, isn't, well, not only that, but about? You were the one serving those drinks.
Yeah.
We were both in the bartending.
Alcohol is bad.
Right.
Industry for a little bit.
So, you know, I'd say,
wait, would you drink it?
Yeah, of course. I'd try it. It's hard to imagine putting a little Parmesan into my alcoholic drink.
Parmesan.
Gross.
Ugh.
No, I don't know. What is there anything else on the planet as far as like culinary shit goes where, you know, it's kind of transformed by putting cheese on it? Where you would, does any other food or drink do this with cheese? Can you think of anything?
So one of the, I love watching Food Network. I saw this years ago. There was a chef, and it always stuck with me because it was so odd. There was a chef who made an apple pie, and they put a slice of cheddar cheese right on top of that apple pie.
Oh.
To give it that salty flavor in addition to the sweet.
You couldn't just throw salt on it?
No. Because this is a different type of salty. You don't want a salty pie like the pie that you made on 4th of July several years ago, and it was just eating like a bag of salt.
All right, listen, man, I mistook the tablespoon with the teaspoon when it came to salt portions. I fucked up. It looked beautiful though.
You know what the best thing about that was? That everybody like took a bite and they kind of hesitated. It's like,
Oh
no, this is really great. And you I'm made like, this
stop,
yourself?
I'm stuck. You made this yourself. Stop lying to me. Because I prefaced everything. Like, I'm like, I made a pie. It sucks, but I'd hate for it to go to waste. That was my kind of warning to everybody. And everybody's like, well, how bad could it be? And they're like, they're still trying to be nice. And I'm like, stop trying to be nice. I'm telling you that it sucks. But it was a pretty pie because, you know, it was 4th of July. So I made it look like a little flag with the stars and the bars.
You know, it was
shit.
It was really just the crust that was salty, but that's what you eat with the pie. I mean, you take the whole spoonful.
So pretty much,
so the filling was okay.
I removed the top layer of crust, and then people ate it, and it didn't suck as much, at least. But it was.
I'm like pruning up thinking about that pie.
It was an awful pie. It was a very awful pie. That was my first crack at trying to make my own pie crust because I was following Bill Burr's recipe.
Yeah.
From way back when, which is a good recipe. When we tried it again a different time, it came out all right. But it was just a shame that to this day, people think I can't make a goddamn pie.
It's like a cup of salt.
It was bad. It was very bad. So anyway, what you were saying? Parmesan on this alcoholic drink.
And it's just like just a little bit of grated Parmesan.
And so I've, freshly grated, or can you just get the craft?
You know, it's always preferred freshly grated for, you know, that nice bold flavor. Need to flavor.
Buy a fucking wheel of Parmesan.
Man, I was at Costco today, and I should have just picked up a slice.
Yeah.
Like a little wedge.
They sell those?
Yeah, they sell those. Okay. They sell little wedges.
Interesting.
From the circle.
All right. Cool, cool. What else is going on with you there, Steph?
Got some stuff going on and geeking out.
Oh, okay. Are we just saying what's on tap then?
Yeah.
You know, I got to say apologies to everybody who was thinking of going to the last two Fallen Electric shows. Mm. They've unfortunately gotten canceled. Now, a couple of weeks ago, when we were supposed to play at Brewery X in Anaheim, it was raining and it was an outdoor event. So, of course, they canceled it. But we showed up still and they gave us free food and beer. They really took care of us there. And we rescheduled for a date in March.
I can't believe that they didn't tell you in advance, like you guys were on the way there.
Well, the forecasts you can only trust them so much, and it did just say like it had zero chance of rain, but the surrounding areas were still getting rain. So I guess somebody farted and a cloud went in that direction, and you know there was rain. It was just steadily raining throughout that day, but we got free food. I'm not hating that.
Yeah.
And then just recently, in fact, as we record this today, my band was supposed to play a show over in Upland, and that got canceled because our drummer Charles got this septum surgery. Mm. I'm low key jealous because I've been wanting to get this kind of surgery for the longest time. And septum surgery is just when they scrape the interior lining of your septum, which is the space in between both of your nostrils, but from like the inside. So it really kind of opens up the airway. And supposedly for him, it's going to help him in his like asthma and allergies that he gets, so seasonal allergies. So he's just bleeding. He's been bleeding for the last week. He's got like these stents and gauze all up in his nostrils. Apparently he's getting them taken out on Tuesday. So, a speedy recovery for him because I want to play some goddamn shows. And speaking of, we've got some shows coming up in April. So nothing left for the rest of this month, March. But we're going to plan on adding more content to our shows. So that'll give us some time to develop those. But on April 8th, we're going to be over at Blarney Stone in Fountain Valley, California. We go on at 9 p.m. that night. And then on Saturday, April 15th, tax day, Steph, we are over at September's in Redlands for the very first time. This particular September's is an actual music venue. They have a stage, they have a sound system. It's going to be dope. And we go on at 7 for that one. So it's going to be a nice, I really like kind of like when you go on a little bit earlier than usual. For the most part, we go on at 9 p.m. and we probably wouldn't leave because we don't stop playing until on average 1 a.m. And by the time we're done getting all our shit in the van, it's already like 2 a.m. and nothing's open except for maybe Denny's. But when we play these earlier sets, man, more things are open.
Like
IHOP.
You know, ever since we saw Jamie Lee Curtis's interview, like I am all for early shows
the matinees
now. Yeah.
Yeah, matinee concerts.
Or just like doing stuff early. Like last week we went to this tiki bar, right? We got there at 4 o'clock, had our drinks, you know, went out for some tacos after that.
It was still daylight, yeah.
We got home by 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
We went home by 8 o'clock, and we watched a movie, and I was like, holy shit.
It was nice. It was nice.
And then I started talking, like the other day, I talked to my coworkers about this, and we were talking about, like, why are we going out so late at night? Like, oh, let's get ready. Let's go out to, you know, whatever by, like, 9 o'clock. And it's like, why?
We're not in our 20s anymore.
Why? Like why?
Unless you're trying to go hook up with somebody.
Okay, then you want to do it at night in the cover of darkness.
Yeah, you don't want a lot of light going on your face. You know, if you're not easy on the eyes, you want to get all the chances you can get with a partner that evening.
Yeah.
But again, we're not in our 20s anymore. Who are we trying to impress?
Are we just getting old?
Yes, yes. That's really what this is about.
Oh, you're going to turn soon. Your birthday's coming up.
Yeah, I'll be 36, if you can believe it. But I'm not like the Foo and Josh that just have given up completely on life. We're like, you know, no sunlight can touch their fair skin. Those poor assholes. No, I don't think I'll ever be that bad where I've just kind of thrown in the towel.
No, because I actually make you do shit.
Nevertheless. But yeah, anyway, man, the Fallen Electric's got some shows happening in April. We've got some new music coming out real soon. So stay tuned for all that shit. Hopefully, too, we'll get more musical guests on the show. It'd be pretty fun to speak with some old friends and make some new ones.
Let's see, we'll
throw out some emails and see what happens, see what sticks.
Who we can get.
Who doesn't tell us to fuck right off. Steph, you want to get into geeking out?
Let's do it.
Well, Steph, just to get this started, I only had one thing as a reminder. You know, we in previous episodes, we were talking about how Ash Ketchum's days were numbered on the Pokemon animated series.
Yes.
Right on TV. At least from a Japanese perspective, this is his last season. The series will continue with other trainers that they're going to be following, and we're going to follow their storyline and their quest of becoming a Pokemon master. But it's about time to say goodbye to Ash. He's got one episode left. They've already introduced reintroduced some old friends like his old Pokemon Butterfree and a couple of others, and he's met up again with remember when he had Lapras for a moment?
Yeah.
And Squirtle, but he let Squirtle go. Yeah, that was one of the things that pissed me off about Ash, is that he would always release his Pokemon. Right in the beginning, they wouldn't even respect them, like Charizard. But
Charizard is a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. We also spoke of him reintroducing us to Misty and Brock. You know, they've gotten busy behind the scenes, and kind of like just, you know, as a farewell, I guess, to everybody. But I guess he's still struggling to find out what a Pokemon master really is. He's already a champion. So, you know, he's already experienced being, you know, the number one Pokemon trainer. But the Pokemon master, what would you say a Pokemon master is, Steph? Is it like a little bit of everything? Kind of like how Brock wanted to be the number one breeder.
Right.
Misty wanted to be the number one, I guess, water type trainer, right? So everybody wants to, like, has a goal of everything, but is the master pretty much getting, like, everything, like, being the best at everything? Would you say that that's what that is?
Yeah, not only that, but you have to be able to teach others how to do like the skill.
Like a black belt, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And command respect from your subordinates, and if you don't, just in the face.
Yeah.
But you know, Ash won't do that because he's too nice.
He's a little bitch. But can you also believe that it seems like we will also be saying farewell to Team Rocket, Jesse James and Meowth?
Well, they were always trying to catch Ash, right?
Yeah, but it's not like Ash is dying. The series is just not following his story anymore beyond this season. You know, so, you know, maybe I don't know that that was very necessary, but I guess in the final moments, we saw the trio, Jesse James and Meowth, calling it quits and then heading in their own directions. So I don't know. I don't know enough about it to say if like there's bad blood or if they just said, all right, we're just, you know, there's more to life than this. Just getting blasted off again and again and again.
How do they fund all of these excursions?
Well, they're part of Team Rocket. It's a gang.
I guess so.
They steal and
yeah,
have a racket going on. And you know, their boss is he's a gym leader.
Maybe the boss retired.
So he's just disbanding all of Team Rocket? I doubt that that's happening. Greed would not let that happen.
There are some questions we will never get the answer to. We just won't. It's one of life's mysteries. Why did Team Rocket disband?
Or maybe they explain it, but it's so far only airing in Japanese, so we won't know until it gets dubbed and sent over to the US.
We will get some 15 to 20 minute breakdown on YouTube on why Team Rocket disbanded in like 3 months.
That's often like way longer than the actual episode that you could have just watched. The explanation. Yeah. It's fucking Nerdist does that. What are the other those other guys?
Screen Rant.
Yeah, Screen Rant does
Screen
that.
Screen Rant does that.
Nerdist has kind of been my go-to lately.
Nerdist is the good one.
Yeah.
There was one, what is it, Rockstar? No, they were sponsored by Rockstar. But they changed their name.
Something Rockstars.
The new
Rockstars?
No.
Yeah. That sounds right. That sounds right. Anyway, I don't care. What were you going to talk about, Steph? You have a few things jotted down, I see.
Well, since we're on the subject of anime.
Is this an anime geeking out?
Yeah, it can be.
All right.
So I have not seen this. Have you heard about the anime / manga called Berserk?
No.
No. So this is an older manga anime that came out 97, 98. It has that old anime look to it.
Mm-hmm. The grainy and
drawn,
hand-drawn.
But it's been circling the interwebs a lot lately, so a lot of nostalgia for people that have seen it and grew up with it, and a lot of more newcomers to the series like us. Like, I've never seen it before, but I wanted to throw it out there just in case there's anybody that needs something else to watch or something else to read.
Where can you find it?
On Crunchyroll.
Okay.
Or you can get it.
Is that still a free app, Crunchyroll?
No, you have to pay for it. Oh, for subscription service.
Okay.
Anyway,
it was free. Wasn't it free at one point?
It was like there was like the trial.
No.
14 day.
I just know that we use Josh's login. So.
Josh, we need your password.
Oh, a reset? Kick this out?
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Josh, would you like to come over?
We're making ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. Come over for this guy's birthday.
Give us your password.
Yeah. So Berserk was an anime that came out 97, 98 for a total of 25 episodes. It's also known as Kenpo Deneki Berserk in Japan and based off of the manga of the same name by Kentaro Miura. It's a dark fantasy that includes swords and sorcery.
Oh, and great. Just a
quick blurb about it is that the story revolves around Guts, G-U-T-S. A lone mercenary looking for a fight, and is only alive by his sheer will to live. But he gets defeated and joins the Band of Hawk, which is led by Griffith. Guts eventually climbs the ranks, decides to leave, and is forced to challenge Griffith in a duel in order to do so. A duel. Throughout the story, there are sorcery elements happening. There's a 100-year-old war. There's dungeons. There's magic, apostles, there's demons. There's a whole psychological aspect to it. And people who really love this anime, they're totally obsessed with it. It's sort of how I was mentioning it to you earlier, and I don't know that this is the right description because I haven't seen it before, but what I'm getting from people's reviews are... imagine, you know how like we really got sucked into Attack on Titan?
Yeah.
This anime is nothing like Attack on Titan, so I'm not trying to compare the two, but it's like you're going to get sucked into this the way, you know, we got sucked into that. So it's one of those dark animes that you probably will never experience again.
You won't see anybody smiling?
No. No. Yeah.
Very rarely is there a smile cracked in Attack on Titan. Everybody's just always screaming and crying and dying.
Unless you're Sasha with the food.
All right.
You're the potato girl. So yeah, I'm interested.
Okay.
In watching.
Are we gonna start watching that? Because I've been watching on the History Channel.
Oh yeah.
The Food That Made America. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. It's on History Channel originally, and there's still new episodes happening. They're on season 4 of this, but every episode is like 45 minutes to an hour of them explaining like the history behind some of the more popular food groups, food brands, like Coca-Cola, Kellogg's and Post, Hershey's and Mars, and it's fascinating. It, you know, they also, there's a narration happening, like a documentary style narration, but there's also actors acting out, you know, what the narrator is talking about so that you get a better understanding of how the history went down. I'm sure it didn't go down exactly how they portray it, but gives you a good idea. And it's fascinating, man. You don't, like, I thought that the Oreo was the first sandwich cookie. And it wasn't. It was the second one, and it just became more popular because Nabisco partnered with Hershey to make the Oreo.
Has that flavor.
There's so much backstabbing and politics that go into... and a lot of this happens like during the Industrial Revolution, like the early 1900s, and you know, the Depression. And they get into other things that are more modern, like the early days of McDonald's and Burger King and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm,
it happens pizzas. More recently, yeah, like Pizza Hut, Domino's, and all that good stuff. But if you guys need something to watch and just have on the background, or just watch and maybe, I don't know, have an edible or just have a drink, maybe throw a little Parmesan on it. That's a good show to watch. I'm pretty hooked, so I don't know. Maybe Berserk happens after that.
After we finish it.
Or catch up, because there's still new episodes happening.
Yes.
Yeah. Foods That Made America. You'll be sucked in.
Man, we would just watch the cookie episode.
The cookie episode. That's a good episode. Yeah.
So hungry for cookies.
How Nabisco kind of came to be. The rise of power. It was fascinating, man. Coke and Pepsi. Those wars happening. It was great. Anyway. Sorry.
It's a good show. No, it's good. It's good. The last thing I want to talk about was Josh sent me a video on Instagram. It's not what you think.
Oh.
It is safe for work. No, it was talking about how each episode costs a lot of money.
Obviously likes Dick more. Again, why not? Dick is cool.
Obviously.
Obviously.
I think Josh. We're all in agreement here. So he sent me this video, and it was talking about how One Piece episodes cost a lot of money. How much do you think they cost? What would you say a very popular anime that has over 1,000 episodes over 30 years, how much would you think that one episode costs?
I think that the production cost is not high, but I think given that it's already past 1,000 episodes and now it has a legacy and all kinds of twists and turns, by now the salaries are crazy big on everybody involved. So I can imagine that something like this would be rather expensive. But I don't know. It's hard for me to guess. Knowing me, I'd just say something stupid like $1 million an episode. But I know that's maybe throwing it a bit too far.
No.
What do you got?
You're not talking about a solid block of 30-minute episodes, because you have to allow for commercial breaks.
Well, it's
right?
Really so, more like 22 to 23 minutes.
Right. One episode is $90,000.
Jesus.
And most of that goes into their battle scenes.
Okay, I can see kind of. Yeah, there's a lot that goes
into the animation.
Goes into it.
And so I was trying to look up more about it, and then I found out that Screen Rant actually posted the 10 most expensive anime series of all time.
Oh, shit.
And how much they cost to produce.
What do you got?
So at number 10 is One Punch Man with $80,000 per episode.
Damn.
Some of these animes, you know, because we're not really... We are anime people, but then we're not.
I appreciate a good anime. I just don't watch all of them, or I don't even try.
So some of these you're not going to know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know them. And so therefore you don't know them.
Okay.
Because I introduced you to all of them.
Sure, sure.
Except for Captain Tsubasa.
Captain Tsubasa was my jam. Was and is, yo. I put you guys through a lot when I went through my little Captain Tsubasa.
You would not give up trying to find that.
Dude, it's so hard to find. So Captain Tsubasa, I was introduced to Captain Tsubasa as a small child. Going to school every morning, it would be on at like 7:30 in the morning, but in Spanish. I'd watch it on Telemundo, and it was called Super Campeones in Spanish. So I'd watch it there. And not only that, but following it was the Spanish version of Transformers. I'd be watching Captain Tsubasa or Super Campeones and Transformers in Spanish before going to school on an average preschool, kindergarten, first grade. I think I transitioned into English cartoons before going to school in fifth or sixth grade when Pokemon was on UPN right before school.
Wow. So when you watch these Transformers episodes, did they transform in Spanish?
It was... It was a...
Orale.
Yeah. So Captain Tsubasa, people don't even... I haven't even explained what it is. It's about soccer. It's about soccer and like they... You know how like there's these... I don't know. Let's just say, for example, a Dragon Ball Z, right? You know, you have these scenes where like they have to power up and shit's going down and the backgrounds get crazy. Yeah. They would do all that shit, but like with a soccer game. And I don't know what they, I guess, what do you call it when you do when you have to jump in the air and then you flip upside down and then you kick the ball while you're upside down? In Spanish, or at least in Captain Tsubasa, in the Spanish one, it's the chilena. But I don't know what they call it in English, really, because I didn't watch the English version much. I think it's just called a...
It's like a trick shot, right?
It is a trick shot, but that was his move. That was his finishing move, Captain Tsubasa. If a ball was kicked high enough, he would jump up like some fucking superhero, flip upside down, and then kick it backwards into the goal to win a lot of those games.
Mm.
And then, you know, there was the rival ones there was this like prodigy goalkeeper that a rich guy hired as a ringer for the other team. And they had to go up against each other. And that was the entire fucking first season. And then, in season two, they gain respect for each other. Now they're on the same team and there's other foes to face. It was fucking exciting as a small child to watch that, no less in Spanish.
Sounds exactly like the plot for Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Or early Dragon Ball Z.
With the green guy, Piccolo?
Piccolo and Vegeta were each separate villains, and then they all joined Goku in the fight to save Earth.
Right.
See you next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Yep.
Anyway, back to this list. That's a huge tangent.
Yeah.
Coming up at number 8 is Demon Slayer, again with $80,000 per episode. Jeez. One Piece, $90,000 per episode. Naruto, $100,000 per episode.
Wow.
My Hero Academia, which is still in production, $110,000 per episode. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, $120,000 per episode.
I've never heard of that one before.
This one you can find on Netflix. This one, I don't know. It doesn't give me a plot. Black Clover, I have not heard of this one. But $140,000 per episode.
Okay.
Jujutsu Kaisen.
I've heard of that one.
$150,000 per episode.
Wow.
Attack on Titan. $150,000 per episode. What do you think is the final anime on this list? Number one.
I believe it's pronounced Finaru. No. $200,000.
$200,000?
Yeah.
Coming up at the highest cost per episode is Dragon Ball Super. $160,000 per episode.
Wow. That's expensive.
That's expensive. And I can see how that is expensive, especially for Dragon Ball Super, where they're just like... Like one episode is 1 minute in the match.
Yeah.
So you have an entire 26 episode season dedicated to one match.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're moving so fast. Oh.
And then the internal monologue. Oh.
I have to defeat him. And then at the last minute, he's like, oh, maybe he is a good guy after all. And it's like, Goku, just kick his ass.
Yes, already.
Stop talking to him. Oh my god.
It's true. Whenever the foos would have it on the TV and I'd just be subject to it. It's a lot. I mean, they'd be like a 10 episode arc of just one fight. It was ridiculous, but it was exciting because it reminded me a lot of the Captain Tsubasa shit.
Because
a tournament would be an entire season. It would be stupid. Yeah.
See you next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, as I've been doing lately, I got a few fatalities. Got a couple of them.
Okay.
Fatality.
All right. Well, we're saying goodbye to a couple of big names, man. Starting off with Joe Pepitone. He was a New York Yankee. He died at the age of 82 recently. And he lived an interesting life. He was with the Yankees for he was like 21 when he won his first World Series. And he was right out of high school and when he joined them. And he after his stint with the Yankees and being traded with other teams, and I think only spending 4 months at the Japanese League, which he hated, he fucking hated it there. He got into, like, he had some negative press. He got a DUI. He had a lot of issues, and he put out a book later on in life with like some memoirs about talking about his upbringing, and there was a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of shit like that. But he was a huge name in the Yankees organization. So, in the interest of paying salute to an awesome athlete, you know, we say goodbye to Joe Pepitone. And then number two, man, the biggest name that passed away, one of the biggest names that passed away this week, was Bobby Caldwell. And I don't know if you guys have been seeing the memes or, you know, as you scroll through Instagram or TikTok, but a lot of people are just now discovering that the dude was white.
He was.
He was a one-hit wonder. He famously sang that R&B hit, What You Won't Do for Love, which has been sampled and covered over and over again throughout the decades. He was only 71 years old.
Oh, man. Another young one.
And I don't know if you knew how he passed, but he wasn't doing so well because he was prescribed like an antibiotic, like a catch-all antibiotic.
Oh, yeah. I think the proper term is broad spectrum.
There you go. And his body didn't take to it well at all. It really hurt him. Oh,
he was probably in that 1% or like that 0.01 or whatever, like that rare person.
He was taking it for the last 6 years. And I guess, I don't know, nobody thought that that's what was fucking him up.
Oh, it's probably a slow allergic reaction.
Who knows? Who knows?
That's so sad.
Yeah, man. And you know what? It wasn't reported on this one, but we also lost another great actor. You sent us that information. Do you have that on you there, Steph?
I thought I just saw it
on
the screen there.
Yeah, and then it went away. So if I click on it, I'm going to get an ad, and then I'm going to get pissed, and then we're going to go on a tangent.
Of course.
And it's going to turn into a big old thing. But
oh my God, why can I not remember his name?
I'm having a brain fart myself.
Lance Reddick.
There you go. He was awesome.
Our,
you know,
beloved,
I was first,
Lance Reddick.
I was first introduced to Lance Reddick on what was that show? It was kind of like X-Files. Come on.
Fringe. He was on Fringe.
He was on Fringe. That's where I was first introduced. He was an awesome actor. We know him most recently from the John Wick movies. He's the, what would you say he is? The concierge? The host?
He's the concierge.
Of the hotel?
In the Continental.
Yeah.
Wait, the Continental?
Yeah, the Continental.
The Continental, did you say?
Yes, like the breakfast. Yeah, he'll be missed, man. He was young. He, and you know.
60.
I wonder what they're going to do with his character because, you know, he introduced John Wick, or he introduced us, the audience, to a lot of John Wick's foes within the Continental.
Right. Weren't they going to do a spinoff called The Continental?
Which I think it's been filmed already. I think there's just an editing at this point.
Mm.
It's going to be coming out soon, I understand. There's no way he's not in it. It'd be weird if he wasn't in it. So that'd be, you know, for sure, that's probably maybe one of the last things that he made. One of the last acting jobs that he had.
I think so, because he was such, I don't know. Yeah, John Wick. The fourth one's going to come out.
He ended up not going to the premiere.
Oh, he must have been sick.
He must have been sick or something. The last that the public got from him was a quick, like, Twitter video, I believe, that he had posted, or on Instagram, where it was just him, and you can hear his dogs just going crazy in the background and him just kind of rolling his eyes. He probably wasn't well, but well, I don't know. Maybe his, we'll probably never know. You know, they like to keep this kind of close to the vest, the family, and you know,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, three huge legends in acting, music, and sports.
Yeah. The Continental is a miniseries developed by Greg Coolidge, Kirk Ward, and Sean Simons that serves as a prequel spinoff in the John Wick franchise.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be...
Mm-hmm. Say it.
Oh, apparently it's a real location.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, well, the building itself, well, obviously.
Okay. We know about all these mercenaries that hang out and we're doing nothing about it.
Is, you know, there's more to read into that, but I, you know, I'm just going to have a lot of dead air just trying to read it and try to tell you. So just look it up.
All right. Well, that's good. That was fatalities.
Fatality.
And let's get it on with... push the button too soon. The music highlights. I wanna rock. Or should I say the music news? But since we can't play fucking music anymore,
fuck.
Robert Smith, man, Robert Smith of The Cure. If you're a fan,
now
or not,
what?
What do you mean? It's not bad news. It's good news. I don't know if you know this, but The Cure hasn't gone on tour for one of the longest times. Like, I was fortunate enough to see The Cure at Coachella a few years ago, and they're really fun to watch considering how not that well they're aging, especially Robert Smith. That guy just, that guy looks awful. But nevertheless.
He looks like a sad clown.
He was... He pointed out some controversy through Ticketmaster. Now, we all know Ticketmaster has had its issues as of late with it being a monopoly and taking control of the entire music and venue industry. They have a chokehold on it. And so, like any monopoly, the greedy fucks, and they're charging fees up the ass. And I guess this week, hell froze over for a quick minute. Because Robert Smith convinces Ticketmaster to issue refunds for unduly high fees.
A refund?
Yes. He somehow, I mean, he was very vocal about it on his social medias. He was telling all of his fans that, you know, this tour or the tickets for this tour were not going to be... it wasn't going to have this dynamic pricing that they've been doing. That's what really fucked up the Swifties when the Taylor Swift tickets went on sale and fucked all those fans over with all these crazy freaking fees. I think just recently in a previous episode of this podcast, Steph, you were talking about how expensive the Depeche Mode tickets were. Weren't they like close to $1,000 per ticket? If you wanted to be on the floor?
No, those were seat tickets. Those were, you know, not resale tickets. Those are $500 seat tickets, mm-hmm. just directly from the website. But resale tickets for the floor went up to $3,000.
Fuck that. And that had to do a lot with that dynamic pricing, which is really the supply and demand of it. However, whatever kind of demand is being shown in their analytics, it's going to drive the price. So if a lot of people are logging into Ticketmaster to buy the price, the software and algorithm already knows that it's going to price it up so that it can, it's kind of a supply and demand, a very capitalist and very fucking shitty way to really screw with the fans that are trying to see their favorite artists. Mm-hmm. And so Robert Smith went, he took to the internet, he was voicing his concern and displeasure with all this shit. He said, we're not doing the dynamic pricing, tickets are going to be $20. And the one thing that he was unable to, or maybe he didn't have the foresight for this, but they were still charging people fees up the ass in the way that Ticketmaster has been doing for the last few years. And I guess there was some negotiations happening behind the scenes, or maybe it was just him voicing his displeasure for all this, where in a recent tweet, he says, after further conversation, Ticketmaster have agreed with us that many of the fees being charged are unduly high, and as a gesture of goodwill, have offered a $10 per ticket refund to all verified fan accounts for lowest ticket price transactions, and a $5 per ticket refund to all verified fan accounts for all other ticket price transactions for all Cure shows at all venues. If you already bought a ticket, you will get an automatic refund. All tickets on sale tomorrow will incur lower fees, which I think is kind of a win. If you're a Cure fan and want to go see The Cure.
Yeah, that is, oh man, I can't believe those price gouging, because the ticket itself, right, even though it's $20,
yeah,
convenience fees plus taxes, it's like double what you're paying for.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's pretty amazing that he actually got them to refund that. That never happens.
You would never see that happen. I don't know if this is like a David and Goliath situation, or I don't know what, but you know, you would think that, or maybe Ticketmaster's waking up. People are actually, you know, trying to go to Congress for them to do something about this and break up this monopoly.
It's just, there's no reason why tickets should be that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of smaller bands that I follow online, and they will only like release tickets from an exclusive trusted site, and you have to be part of like their mailing list, and they only play like small shows. They don't play like these huge venues. Like, so they'll go around the country and they'll play a lot of small shows, and it becomes more intimate. They are smaller, you know, smaller band, very popular, but they actually draw the crowds. And for that reason, they're able to sell tickets outside of Ticketmaster, and it actually works.
Yeah.
With like little to no fees, probably just taxes.
Yeah, and I'm sure like the software where they sell the tickets, they want a small cut, but nothing like Ticketmaster.
No, not like a double the price ticket, stupid.
And ridiculous. They have the fee, the fee-fi-fo-fum fee, another dollar wouldn't hurt fee.
Oh, thank you for turning on your computer and not driving over here fee.
Yeah, all the fees, man, all the fees. But anyway, moving on. I don't know if you've heard in the last few days, Steph, but you remember Meg White? One half of the White Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
She's been getting a lot of shit online, and mainly because a journalist from Billboard, Lachlan Markey, or Markey, I think is how you spell or say his last name, he shared a tweet at the beginning of the week, which has since been deleted, calling Meg a terrible drummer. Now, a lot of people... It divided the internet at least a little bit, but I'm not going to say Meg White is the best drummer, at least the most technical drummer, but I think she was she played a very important role with how the White Stripes sounded.
Yes.
Like the White Stripes wouldn't sound like the White Stripes without Meg White, even though like her beats were rather elementary. You kind of, they had their own charm about them, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. She definitely had her own sound, but I would, and I know a lot of people, I'm going to get a lot of shit for this, but honestly, she showed up and she did her job.
Yeah.
And that's all you need.
And that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. I wasn't like wowed, but I wasn't disappointed either. I was like, okay with it.
Yeah. You know, and again, she wasn't the most technical drummer. Her skills weren't, I mean, she was no Neil Peart or anything like that, you know? Very simple beats.
Like, yeah, exactly. What are you, like, so we only know her from the White Stripes. What did you expect out of, you know, that sound? Did you want a bunch of cymbals going on? Should she have been in a cage?
I don't know, man.
Like what?
But anyway, it got Jack White to respond.
What did he say?
He actually responded with like a letter, an open letter to Meg, and it kind of reads like a poem. So I'm going to go ahead and share it here. So he posted, let's see, when did he post this? I guess it doesn't matter. But he posted it just recently. To be born in another time, any era but our own would have been fine. 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, some other distant, different time, one without demons, cowards, vampires out for blood, one with the positive inspiration to foster what is good. An empty field where no tall red poppies are cut down, where we can all lay all day, every day on the warm and subtle ground. And now, and know just what to say and what to play to, conjure our own sounds and be one with the others all around us, and even still the ones who came before, and help ourselves to all their love and pass it on again once more. To have bliss upon bliss upon bliss, to be without fear, negativity, or pain, and to get up every morning and be happy to do it all again. And I don't know if, you know, they were introduced to us as a brother and sister band. Later on, we learned that they were actually married at that time, which is why they shared the last name White.
No, they're brother and sister in spirit.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's what was confusing at the time, because they were going for like that vibe, like, you know, we're all one with each other. Mm. And we just so happen to be married, but they're not brother and sister who are married together.
Right.
That was the common misconception. It's like, well, what is it? It's like, you know, we're all brother and sister. Yeah. Vibing.
But you know who also pissed off Steph? Tom Morello.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He also wrote something on his Instagram, and he's like, I hear there's some controversy on this matter lately. So let me set full straight. Meg White is one of the greatest drummers in the history of rock and roll. It's not even a debate. There are a handful of drummers ever who are instantly recognizable, rocking their many hit songs with flavor, fire, and flair. She's on that list, bro. Does she do a lot of complicated tom-tom fills? No. Thank God. She has style and swag and personality and oomph and taste and awesomeness that's off the charts and vibe that's untouchable by all you boring-ass skin beaters who think we care about your tight syncopated paradiddles. She's a force, and her records are forever stepstones on how to do it on your own, on your own way while rocking the damn planet. Official Jack White knows too, so show some fucking respect.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah.
He's right. It's hard to not recognize Meg White behind those drums when she's behind those drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Morello knows what he's talking about. So, like I said, like, what did you expect from a White Stripes, you know, type of band? Like, she doesn't need to do all this heavy hitting, like I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So anyway, I'm a little torn, because again, she's not a talented drummer, but she's very recognizable. She's undeniable, you know, like, so she's a brand. So I think it makes her important in rock and roll history.
She's got the internet talking about her, so hopefully she can get some new gigs or something like that.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why she left. She stopped drumming because she was getting panic attacks before going on to play with the White Stripes. She had a very serious, ironically, case of stage fright, and that was giving her a lot of anxiety and panic attacks. And I'm sure this kind of fucking shitty rhetoric wasn't helping. You know, back then, I'm sure were also telling her, you know, you're not a great drummer. So, you know, trying to go up and entertain people while in your, you know, in the back of your mind, you have all these haters. It's in the infancy of the internet when people were really going into forums and laying it on you anonymously. It's a shitty thing.
Yeah.
But, anyway, yeah, I hope this gives her a newfound love and appreciation, because right now, you know, Jack White, he's
always busy. That guy's performing.
Yeah. But, you know, he's doing it on his own now. He has his own band. He's still writing. But, you know, I think secretly everybody still longs for a White Stripes show. I wonder if we're ever going to get one again.
Well, maybe one day.
Yeah. And lastly, Steph, Liam Gallagher, it was asked, what do you miss most about performing with Noel in Oasis? And for those who don't know, Liam and Noel Gallagher, brothers in Oasis, have been feuding, and they've been going at each other's throats for years. And many people, including a lot of celebrities, like, for example, the Who's Roger Daltrey, has been begging for an Oasis reunion.
Like, they say that they're going to get back together, and then right before they get back together,
they get into a fight.
They get into a fight. Oh, I can't do this. He looked at me wrong. I don't like the way he wears his shirt.
And so, Liam frequently answers fan questions on Twitter, and when somebody asked him, "What do you miss most about performing alongside Noel?" he gave his truthful, albeit cheeky answer, showing him how to sing with passion and verb. He's all talking shit. And he just, I don't know, every little chance he gets to talk shit about his brother in the press, it really just brings... it brings everybody together in a way where it's just like, it brings everybody together to yell at them and say, fucking get your shit together and play an Oasis show. Nobody cares about like your very childish infighting happening in your family. Just put everything aside. That's the same thing that was going on with Pink Floyd when they broke up. And there were, and you know, I guess, and I can understand that when you break up because a lot of friction was going down, maybe a business disagreement, maybe an artistic disagreement. But when you know that there's an audience and millions of fans and thousands of people who would pay so much money to come see you play, and they're one of the top bands of all time. You know, easily. It's. I guess I just don't know because I'm not in their shoes. But you know, Matt Healy of the 1975, right?
Oh yeah.
He was asked this on CBC on about the whole Oasis thing, and this is probably one of the best kind of like somebody venting and lashing out at Noel and Liam and just like trying to ask them publicly to get their shit together. So I'm gonna play it.
What are Oasis doing? Can you imagine being in potentially right now still the coolest band in the world and not doing it because you're in a mod with your brother? Do you know what I mean? I can deal with them dressing like they're in their 20s and being in their 50s, but acting like they're in their 20s and need to grow up. Stop modding. They're like men of the people, and they're sat around in like Little Venice and Highgate, like crying over an argument with their brother. Grow up, headline Glastonbury. There is not one person going to a High Flying Birds gig or a Liam Gallagher gig that would not rather be at an Oasis gig. There is not one person that's there going, you know what? I loved Definitely Maybe, but my favorite thing is Noel Gallagher's High Fly. Do me a favor, get back together, stop messing around. That's my public service announcement for today.
And he's right.
Yes,
he's right.
Just shut up.
But will they listen?
Sing the song? No,
probably
they won't.
Probably not. But anyway, hopefully, you know, this sparks up another conversation and gets them to consider at least playing a show, even if it's like a half hour. Even if it means them being on opposite sides of the stage and not having to talk to each other or look at each other until they were on stage, which, by the way, Pink Floyd did that when they did the Live Aid, their recent appearance. It was a few years ago, but in their most recent appearance at Live Aid, that's what happened. They didn't talk to each other, look at each other. The only time they spent with each other was the minutes that they were on stage. And of course, you know, they're Pink Floyd. They know how to play these songs.
Of course. They rehearsed it so many times before. They know it like the back of their head.
Roger Waters has been touring with these songs for forever now.
Yeah.
But I think they should put their differences apart and just give everybody what they want.
You know what they should do? They should make it easy on themselves and just play Matinee.
Hey, now. Bringing it back. Well, that's going to do it for the music news and the show, man, and the fucking show. Come on back next week for this bullshit where we do this all over again and we may or may not have a guest. We may or may not have new segments. And we really don't think about these things until a half hour before we actually start pressing record. So,
right.
It'll be a surprise as much to us as it will be to you.
We'll keep you on your toes. as always.
Well, Steph, you got anything else to share with the foos out there or anything like that? Don't drop the soap.
Don't be a dick. Wash your hands.
That's my line.
Keep your body clean. Oh, and Fuas, pick us up in your new car. Thanks.
Yeah, the Foo got a Tesla, man. But he's going to have it wrapped and tinted, so...
On this episode of I'm Rich, You're Poor.
Yeah. Anyway, we may or may not talk about that in the next episode because we don't fucking know. Thank you all so very much for listening into the Foo Bar Show, and a special thanks to you Foos who subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow Foos. Remember to pick up some swag at FooBarShow.com. That's FOOBarShow.com, and follow FOOBarShow on all of our socials, and we'll Foo it up like a couple of Foos. I've been Josie.
And I've been Steph.
Signing off, saying...
Fuck, man. Thank you, guys.